getting better.
It's extremely scary. I mean, you go to a place every day and you trust it that what you get is what you ordered, and it's very scary.
Can you imagine if you were in a Starbucks and it was spiked with rubbing alcohol, talking about the OJ? That outcome wouldn't be too good. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It's just the times that we're living in. You never know what kind of wackadoodle is going to come out of the woodwork and try something odd. And that was one of the more crazy stories, I think, on the day. On the surface, you say, a woman poisons some OJ at a Starbucks. But imagine if somebody had a drink of that. And that was at a San Jose Starbucks. She's been charged with attempted murder, so they're taking it, of course, very seriously. Ramin Bahabini, 50 years old, is the person who was picked up for pouring that rubbing alcohol to the contents of the bottles, then placing them into a refrigerated display case. That's what happened. There were some firefighters that were there, and they noticed that it was obviously a lethal dose. She was arrested after a customer spotted her pulling out the bottles of orange juice from a bag and putting them in the display case, so she wasn't that crafty. The customer reported it to one of the employees. The customer also got a license plate number, and the investigators traced the plate to her house. So she did that. She spiked the OJ, bolted out of the Starbucks, walked out of the Starbucks, but somebody was paying attention. Now, we have to be vigilant. This is what this shows, that people are paying attention. So somebody saw that, and because somebody saw that, somebody else didn't pick up that OJ and end up in a terrible situation, because that's what would have happened. It gets busy during lunch or early in the morning or whatever. People just start grabbing the stuff up. They wouldn't know that the bottles had something inside of it. They wouldn't know that the bottles were tainted. I can only imagine how appreciative that Starbucks store was to the person who noticed what happened, then was smart enough to jump up, get the license plate number so that you could trace it and get the person and charge her with this. Bravo to that customer for watching the switching out of the bottles, probably saving somebody's life. Right here from the get-go of America Tonight, you know, we talk about a lot of different things, including always the follow-up of this Boston Marathon bombing suspect, Tamerlan Snarduff, because it's such an interesting story. It's an interesting story in the fact that, one, nobody wants to claim his body. His widow said, give it to the family. Give it to my mother-in-law. Boom. She wants nothing to do with his burial, so his body is still sitting there in the morgue. And then the other part of this is, what about all the victims of the bombing and the amazing amount of bills that they now have because they're amputees or other things have happened to them? $30 million has been raised so far to help the people, which is tremendous because of all the amounts of medical bills they'll have. But they're going to have medical bills throughout their entire life. And can you imagine, as you spread out all of those bills, what that would cost you in a lifetime? They say for an average amputee, it could be $500,000. $500,000. And even with insurance, lots of out-of-pocket expenses. Lots of out-of-pocket that you'd have to come up with. Coming up in this hour, we're also going to talk to lawyer Mark Stevens. We're going to talk to him about a bunch of things that are happening, including the latest on George Zimmerman and his pretrial and what he's decided to do, what that might mean for him when the trial gets underway in June. Also, Mirandizing, what happened in the case of the Boston Marathon bomber who survived, the 19-year-old who survived and is charged now. The tug of war over when he was Mirandized, should he have been Mirandized right away, and everything surrounding that. So again, That happens at the bottom of this hour. In between, talking a little bit about Guantanamo, the president says Gitmo needs to be closed. It's costing us too much. It's inhumane. And the prisoners need to be taken to the United States. It's been really crazy, and part of the reason why this has been brought up, I think, again, is because of the fact that there's been a riot there. There are hunger strikes going on. Some of the detainees have had to be force-fed. In fact, 40 medical people were flown in because there's just not enough people on the base to handle that. So things are getting a little crazy at Gitmo. And with that going on and the president's promise to close it back in 2008, I think his second term is about going back and trying to follow through on what he promised to do. He's taken some heat for those kind of things. And one of the things he promised was Gitmo. It was one of the early things that he promised, that it would be closed down and any terrorist detainees would be brought to the United States. So that's coming full circle. That's what's happening. That's what's happening there. You might have noticed this if you've got any kind of a 401k. Lucky you. You must work for a pretty good company. Maybe you've worked there for a while. A lot of that corporate stuff is going away. But the S&P 500 has had its best win streak since 2009. If you're paying attention, wow, the bulls are really running wild on Wall Street. It's the Nasdaq finished at its highest level in more than 12 years. Both indexes closed in their sixth straight monthly gain in April. So how about that? The Dow Jones rose for the fifth straight month, 48 points shy of the all-time high reached earlier in this month. So people seeing this are thinking, ooh, when is this going to come down? Because the market's exploded. Be warned that this could come down. Every time we get that negative news, that's when we start to see that crash. But some people are starting to see that stocks are going up, which means in turn, when they have a Roth or a standard IRA, as we talked to our pal Mike Monacorsi about this, that's good news because that means whatever money, whether it's a little amount of money or more than a little amount of money, you're earning some of it. Maybe you're getting some of it back that you lost in 2008. Maybe that's coming full circle for you. Wouldn't that be good? Some of those bumps, because I think everybody was hit by that in some way. Interesting poll comes out that you may want to know about. We're going to tell you about it next. It's about many in the Muslim world who say Sharia should be the law of the land. Not just in Islamic-based countries, but elsewhere. What about in the United States? And what about in non-Muslim countries, Sharia law should rule? And as I said, that's according to this latest poll. You're going to find it interesting because think of the liberty and freedoms we have, speech and dress and that kind of stuff. Sharia law would affect that. Doubtful we'll ever see that in the United States, although it's been brought up a couple of times in our courtrooms. We're talking about it next on ATN. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment food basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll-free 1-800-977-6119. InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors' information you can have free. Get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-977-6119. That's 1-800-977-6119. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. That's 1-800-977-6119. 1-800-977-6119.
Tonight, pleased to welcome to the show, you know how I feel about the law, attorney Mark Stevens. By the way, that means I give a thumbs up to it, coming from a family of lawyers. I know there's a lot of jokes, but trust me, when you need a lawyer, you need a good one. Mark, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
All right, there's a lot of legal issues that we could toss around, and one of them, because so much, there's been so much attention to what happened with Trayvon Martin. Of course, we're talking about the killing, the death, the shooting death of the teenager in Florida. And he's waived his right to a stand your ground pre-trial immunity hearing. And this is George Zimmerman that I'm talking about. Why would his attorney do that? Is that because they're going to just argue that he acted in self-defense, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. It's it might be that he didn't want to get an adverse ruling on that and be barred from presenting that sort of defense without, you know, being granted immunity. You know what I mean? He may have thought, well, I want to rely on a self-defense theory, and I don't want that to be foreclosed and have a bad order from the judge saying, no, you can't do that. So, you know, that it might have been a strategic move on his part to forego that, because, you know, it's sort of asking the judge to throw the case out, give him immunity, which would be a terribly unpopular decision in some arenas. So it would be asking the judge to do a lot, and it was probably a smart move on his part just to reserve it and just leave it to the 12 people in the box to decide that, you know, he either has the right to defend himself or he doesn't.
Yeah. The one thing that's big for lawyers, and you certainly know about this, I guarantee it's something you look at with clients, the Miranda rights and when things are read and that kind of stuff and how important that is the case, as you know, in Boston with the one bomber, the 19-year-old who is
sure.
in custody. There's so much conversation about what was right and what was wrong. How do you view that?
Well, it's that was the one of the hottest things after they caught him was whether they would read him his rights or not, you know. And people were asking, well, don't they have to read him his rights? What happens if they don't? Why should a guy who set off a bomb have Miranda rights, that kind of thing? And the thing with it is that they don't have to read him his rights. The question is whether or not they're going to be able to use his statements against him at trial if they don't. But it was kind of curious that they weren't releasing any information about him at all except for the fact that they were not going to read him his rights. You know, they were making a big deal about them not reading him his rights when, you know, every other question was answered, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We're not going to answer that because it's an ongoing investigation. They were quick to point out that they're not going to read him his rights and made a huge deal about it. And then after they read him his rights, apparently he lawyered up or shut up, which are the two things you should do when the police are asking you questions. And but the question isn't really whether they can do that. The question is whether they can use whatever statements he made against him at trial. You know, when you have all this videotape evidence of the guy and all the other evidence that they seem to have, you know, do you really need that statement? They weigh that against, you know, what they might be able to find out if there's anyone else out there that they need to be concerned about, that sort of thing. If there are any other bombs out there they need to be concerned about. So they weigh a public safety issue with, you know, whether or not they'll get the statements in a trial.
Yeah. The you know, one of the things that we were going from some of the sensational stuff to talking about DWI and all that entails, and you know this because you deal with it, and sometimes people get caught in these traps and they don't know what to do, and actually their blood alcohol level isn't sky high, but they're
right.
so freaked out, they're so nervous. I mean, even in movies they'll make fun of it sometimes about the we'll call it the perp walk outside of the car. But what happens when you're pulled over? What are your rights? What if you're asked about the breathalyzer and all that sort of stuff, and you know you really haven't had, you had one beer or something, what would you as an attorney advise somebody to do?
It depends by state what you should do and what you shouldn't do, because the penalties for not doing stuff, the administrative penalties for refusing to do testing at different points in the encounter, vary by state. But if you look at the standardized field sobriety test that most people are asked to do by the cops across the country when they're arrested,
mm-hmm.
There are three tests that they're asked to do, and most people cannot pass them, drunk or sober. So the question becomes, how much evidence do you want to give against yourself, and what kind of statements do you want to make against yourself? If the cops ask you, you know, how many beers have you had, and you say two, that's not a bad answer. If you say nine, that's not so good, you know. So you have to be careful about what you say. They generally don't read you your rights until you're actually arrested, though. So they gather up all this information, all the evidence, all the statements, and they say, okay, you're under arrest. And then they read them the rights. But the cat's already out of the bag, if you will. You know, they've already said, I had nine beers, or, you know, I had two scorpion bowls or something. You know, so that's the point where it's really critical not to tell them too much.
Yeah, so, that's great advice for everybody listening to us in the Northeast and all around the country. It varies, as you said, from place to place. But why is it there's something, you know, it's almost like sometimes a cop becomes like a priest, and people feel like they're in confession, and they just start, like I said, getting nervous and spilling all this crazy information, and then sometimes they get themselves caught up in that web. When somebody calls you, do you go as an attorney? What do you do when you're trying to get the evidence, you know, from them as to what really happened? Do you have them just go through the who, what, where, when, and why from A to Z, or how does that work?
Yeah, pretty much, because they're really the only people there were them and the arresting cop most of the time, unless it's like in a mass roadblock where there are tons of cops and other people around. But most of the time it's just them and the cop, or maybe a passenger who saw some of the testing and could hear some of the conversations. So you want to obviously get the driver's side of the story, because the cop's side of the story is going to be quite different. And the cop, you know, ties everything in his report and what he says towards a conviction. So he's going to leave out some of the good things, the things the driver did right. You know, a driver might tell you, well, I was able to stand on one leg for 30 seconds. That's unusual. And in the police report, it will just talk about them using their arms for balance. It doesn't talk about them not putting their foot down. So it's important to get the driver's side of the story, because that's the side of the story that we're going to present.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. When you decided you were going down this, you were taking this walk in the legal journey, what was it that drew you? I'm always curious about this with lawyers. As I said it, and I was really serious about this in the front, that I have a bunch of people in my family, including my brother, who's an attorney, and there's so many different fields of the law. What was it that drew you to the legal profession?
Well, what drew me to the legal profession generally, you mean, or
yeah,
doing this, DWI and criminal defense?
To generally mean that.
I like the analysis part of it, I like defending the Constitution, fighting for the little guy, whether he's a little guy or a little girl or a little, or a big person or whatever it is. It's one person against the might and weight of the state. And, it's important that they have the right person advocating for them and that they have somebody who believes in them and believes in their rights and whatever they're charged with, they're entitled to somebody who is going to go out and fight for them to the end. So I like doing that. And what drew me to the DWI in particular is that so many of them go to trial because most states are reluctant to give anybody a break who's charged with that because of the publicity attendant with it. Now, they're worried about them going out and getting another one, and who gave this person a break, and why do they still have a license, and so forth. So it's much more likely for a DWI case to go to trial than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, and in those trials, would you say, is it, if you were handicapping it for someone, and I know all the circumstances and everything else is different, but, you know, that's what everybody always asks. Well, geez, what are my chances? Because we're worried about that. We're about wins and losses. So what do you tell them? Let it go to trial?
Yeah. Yeah, because you look at it like this. What's going to happen to you if you're convicted? And what's going to happen to you if you take the deal that the state's offering you? What's going to happen to you if you fight the case and lose? And usually they're pretty similar. So there's not much point in taking the deal that they offer most of the time. Most of the time, if you can afford to do it, take your swing and try and beat it. Because this thing is going to, if you get convicted of a DWI, it's going to haunt you right to your grave.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, that is true. No doubt about that. Hey, one last one. As you were saying, you cared about the little guy, the big guy, everybody in between, and defending the Constitution. When you see what's happening in the tug of war over guns and the Second Amendment, where do you stand on all that?
I believe in the right to keep and bear arms, the right of every citizen to have a gun. I don't think that the government needs to react to, you know, horrific crimes by saying, well, let's just ban guns, because the guys that are going to go out and shoot up a school, the guys that are going to go out and do things like that are not going to be worried about passing a Brady check. They are going to get their guns. The guns are already out on the street. So the person that's going to harm when you talk about putting these restrictions on guns and the capacity of magazines and so forth are the law-abiding people that are going to buy them either for sporting purposes or to defend themselves. So that's where I stand on that.
Yeah, I agree with you too, by the way. Hey, and I love your website. I hope you own this. You should just trademark this across the board. But if anybody's up there in New Hampshire, check this out. Buybuydwi.com.
That
says it all.
Thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate it.
Mark Stevens, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing Mother's Day special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Plus, order today and you're automatically entered for a chance to win an amazing trip for mom. Three lucky grand prize winners and a guest will be whisked away to your choice of Paris, Napa, or St. Thomas. Just go to ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. 100 colorful blooms for mom, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase for only $19.99. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday, and if you order this week, you're entered for a chance to win a trip for mom to an incredible destination. The only way to get this amazing deal and be entered to win the trip of a lifetime is to go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or over. Restrictions apply. See rules and website for details.
I like to see you go right across the floor. I like to do it to your telephone ball. I like to reggae, but you can't do that for me. I like to make my food. Can make me
tonight on our next show. Peel back the onion with the UK's Andrew Szabo. We're going to talk to him once a week. And Peel Back the Onion is looking deeper into some of the things that we see happening, but we don't know the whole story. We're going to get the rest of the story of what we're not realizing is going on. All right, a couple of things that I mentioned we would talk about this hour that I want to bounce back to. And remember, it doesn't have to be a monologue. You can jump in anytime you want. The water's warm. I know everywhere else it's cold. But 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Or you can still shoot me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. I said that Sharia law is what many Muslims in the world want to see as the law of the land. So there was recently a poll that was done that showed 3/4 of the people who responded said that abortion is morally wrong, and 80% or more rejected homosexuality and sex outside of marriage. Now, this is a study by the Washington-based Pew Forum, and this was focused on Sharia law and what large majorities in the Muslim world want to see, want the Islamic legal and moral code of Sharia as the official law in their countries and in other countries too, as well. So over three quarters of Muslims in the Middle East, North Africa, South Asia, and Southeast Asia want Sharia courts to decide family law issues such as divorce and property disputes. And this is what the poll found. Views on punishment such as chopping off thieves' hands or decreeing death for apostates is much more evenly divided in the Islamic world, although more than three quarters of Muslims in South Asia say they're justified. So under Western law, Sharia is a loosely defined set of moral and legal guidelines based on the Quran, which, you know, the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad and Muslim traditions, and its rules and advice cover everything from prayers to personal hygiene. So can you imagine? This is something that we're starting to see. It's creeping up and we're dealing with in the United States, whether or not Sharia law could at all be implemented in the U.S. in certain cases. More than four-fifths of the 38,000 Muslims interviewed in 39 countries said non-Muslims in their countries could practice their faith freely, and this was good. So how about that? The survey polled only Muslims, not minorities. In several Muslim countries, embattled Christian minorities say they can't practice their faith freely and are subject to discrimination and physical attacks. And there's a reason for this. The Democratic wins are slight majorities in key Middle Eastern states, 54% in Iraq, 55% in Egypt, and falls to 29% in Pakistan. This is all going to be part of Peel Back the Onion with Andrew Szabo coming up on our next show. All right, jumping to something related to what we saw happen in Boston and some of the attempts, like the Shahzad Fazal, who tried to blow up part of Times Square, and some other things that now have happened in very public places. There's a new poll that New York Times CBS did that shows that Americans are overwhelmingly in favor of installing surveillance cameras in public places and see it as a more acceptable trade-off to any kind of infringement that could step on our privacy. The poll showed 78% of people that took the poll anyway say the cameras were a good idea. 9 out of 10 people believe Americans would always have to live with the risk of a terror attack, but many say the government would be able to combat any attack much more effectively through law enforcement or proper regulations. So one issue that divided the people polled was the role of intelligence agencies before the Boston Marathon attacks. 41% say the agencies had collected information that could have prevented them, while 45% said they had not. The poll found that a majority of Americans, bear with me, would be in favor of tougher measures to stymie further attacks. So is that true? Would you say, you know what, so our freedoms, land of the free, home of the brave, some of that has to be trampled on a little bit, and we have to live like the people in England where camera is focused on your nostril and everywhere else in between, because that's what London especially is like. But hey, we'd have the cameras, we could go back, we could see, it'd be like the eye in the sky at the casinos, only better. If something were going to happen, boy, we could thwart those attacks. To which I say, don't be so certain of that. I think there is inherent danger in too much Big Brother. This is the problem. If the pendulum swings too much in the other direction, none of us are going to be very happy about that. I can tell you already, for example, even red light cameras, I hate red light cameras. If you want to play cat and mouse and catch people speeding, then catch them speeding or going through a red light. But the idea of being snapped in all these different directions, and sometimes they're triggered incorrectly, and then that creates a problem for somebody going to court. I think that's, to me, that's over the top. Why do we have to have the cameras? And is it really stopping anyone from who's speeding from going through it in the first place? I would say no. But this is more about, do we worry as far as what could possibly happen in some of our cities. Because certainly it's not going to be in every nook and cranny in the United States. It would cost a fortune. It's not possible at this moment. But in your New Yorks and your Bostons and your Phillies and your LAs and Chicagos and all of that, some of that's already happening. And how scary. See, I think we're altering our way of life because of terrorism. I think there is a vigilance that has to happen with the people living here in this country. I think you have to be more aware of your surroundings. You just do. And when you go somewhere, whether it's a big festival, some event, lots of crowds, you have to look around. You have to be aware. I gave some examples earlier of what people now are starting to do. And because of citizens, just even in the case of the 19-year-old who was completely bloodied when they found him, but because a resident, a guy who lived in the house, saw that something was weird with his boat and called and reported it, that's how they got him. It wasn't through all of the big lockdown they had in Watertown, Massachusetts. It was because of the guy in his own yard realizing that something was wrong and looking and then making the call. That kind of stuff, the more that happens, the better, because people are out there circulating, watching. If you're just kind of aware of your surroundings, that's how life is in Israel. People are still living their life, but they're much more aware of possibilities, and they look, they just are, they're very cautious about that. When they sit down, wherever they are, they'll look around. It doesn't mean that they can always stop something or always spot something out of the corner of their eye that's going to save someone's life or stop somebody who's trying to do some nefarious thing. But because of the vigilance, there is a much better chance of that happening. Let's put it this way. A much better chance that you could see that bag being placed, that bag being left on a bus, somebody putting some kind of package and getting off a bus or leaving something at an airport or someplace else in front of the Boston Marathon, how it's placed down, the bag is placed down. Could someone have seen that? And the answer is yes. If people were looking for it in a very crowded, excited situation, somebody might have been able to find it. Now, of course, they could have still triggered it early. They stayed to watch what was going to happen, so it could have still gone off. But maybe it gets stopped, and maybe they're picked up immediately, and we're not having this conversation about $30 million has been donated and still 20 people are in the hospital and how many are dealing with that feeling of the phantom limb and now are worried about prosthetics and getting fitted for prosthetics, which is a very sad thing to think of because they went to the Boston Marathon. I mean, they're beyond that now, but that ultimately is what it is. And it's being more vigilant about your surroundings, watching, looking for exits, looking for something that seems a little bit off. If you're wrong, you're wrong, but look at the person in the Starbucks that noticed somebody had switched the orange juice, immediately thinking quickly, getting up, taking the license plate, telling the employee, pulling that orange juice, and then this way, nobody gets hurt. Nobody has to die, go to the hospital, and suffer through something horrible because of somebody being a little more vigilant, and at least in their vision, seeing it in their sight line and not just kind of blowing it off and thinking they saw something, but following through on it. More of that has to happen, I think, in this country now. We're at that point where all this high-tech surveillance and all of the fronts we have to fight terrorism, while some of them are very good, there's always going to be a lapse, a miss, something that wasn't caught to the live eye, somebody in the situation, they might see it. On the flip side, we can count.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day. Unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Glidden. I'm doing the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll see you at the Youngevity Conference in May.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ben Fuchs, and I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I will be there.
Hi, I'm MZ Michael Zwirling, owner of KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and you bet I'll be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Youngevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
A report showing that Americans drank an estimated 6.3 billion gallons of beer last year. That tops We Can Count. New Hampshire led the nation in per capita consumption. Though beer consumption in the United States decreased for a third straight year, each individual over the legal drinking age of 21 consumed an average of 28.3 gallons of beer nationwide last year. Woohoo! So New Hampshire was number one. At the bottom of the list, Connecticut, they drank just 21.8 gallons. In North Dakota, they were just behind New Hampshire. They were number two. Interesting, I went through the list, and I would have assumed Texas, for example, would have been much higher, but Texas was number eight, 34.6 gallons. Are you listening, Texans? Vermont, our pals there, WVMT, 34.77 on the list. And if you go even a little bit further for the sober states, that's what they're calling it, at least when it comes to beer, California, 44th on the list, but that's because they're drinking wine, is what I think. And 41, Massachusetts, 26 gallons. How about that? So live free or die. They're living up to their motto. They're taking full advantages of the libations and the liberties, I guess you could say. The Obama administration says there wasn't enough time to mount any kind of a rescue mission to save U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and the other Americans killed in Benghazi. Fox News is saying not so fast. They say that a 40-man Special Operations Rapid Deployment Force was only 4 to 6 hours away during the September 11th, 2012 siege. How about that? I happened to catch the tail end of this report on Monday, and one of the unidentified sources that they had on camera blacked out. He said that they could load out, get on birds, fly there at a minimum stage, that the C-110 had the ability to be there in that short of a time from their spot in a European theater to react to that. So there was also a training in Croatia about 3.5 hours flight-wise from Benghazi, and there were 15 special forces that were highly trained. You know, Daryl is not letting this go. He's the Republican from California, the congressman. He's saying he hasn't gotten responses to 4 letters he sent to the Obama administration. He's calling for whistleblower lawyers to get the security clearances needed to represent the clients. And this goes on and on. Benghazi is the Achilles heel that's not going to heal. This is going to keep coming up again and again and again, over and over and over, over and over, against this administration, unless something completely different changes here, and I don't see that happening. So it's going to be the sore point. It's the one thing that the Republicans want to piece of. Why did it happen? Can you really prove to us that there was no way you could have saved them? There was no way you could have gotten there soon enough. How about the superstorm still knocking down the houses? Yep, now we know Sandy did so much damage that the destruction has taken, because it's been 6 months, destruction has taken most people 6 months to fix what was broken in these homes on Long Island, especially Long Island got hit so hard with this, and other areas in the eastern seaboard. The shoreline areas, New York, New Jersey, parts of Connecticut also felt that Sandy is eating away at a lot of people's lives. The rising water of the ocean and the bay in the Rockaways just flooded so many things for that one particular area. You had a lot of school kids that are trying to make the difference in helping people rebuild those homes. And now they're getting, now they're getting some of that money, but even with flood insurance and stuff, what people are reporting is one of the things you don't want to have to go through, any of us who haven't had to go through it, is being nickeled and dimed by the insurance company where a storm door is 360 and it's not covered, or a front door is $1,000, but they'll only pay you $250. You know, these are some of the problems that folks are dealing with. Temporary housing, with FEMA since Sandy hit, there's some people that are still there. Rents are piling up. Mortgage payments are in arrears. So it's more than tough, let's put it this way. This is pretty controversial. The FDA is letting 15-year-old girls buy morning-after pills over-the-counter, meaning no permission necessary. So that announcement reverses a December 2011 decision that prevented the sale of the emergency contraceptive to all females of reproductive age, which was also overturned by a U.S. district judge in New York on April 5th. The FDA is saying their approval was not related to the judge's ruling. The pill, known as Plan B, has long been at the center of political and religious battles. The FDA initially approved the sale of the drug to all reproductive age females, but was ordered to bar girls under 17 by the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, who came under lots of fire from activists who accused her of bowing to political pressure from social conservatives. So step or plan B. Plan B. Wow. How many people will go and do that and pull that off of the shelves? That's something to watch. 15 and nobody knows. Nobody's the wiser. By the way, as of February, Plan B sales over the past 12 months, $79 million. $79 million. Although it sounds a lot to you and me, pharmaceutical industry people will tell you, well, that's really not that much. So it's not like people are cleaning it off the shelves just yet. I think that will happen, that the refills will be tougher to get because you don't have to have a prescription, but it'll be tougher to find because they'll come off those shelves pretty quickly. You know, this is a story that just keeps on giving. The Sarna family, which Tamerlan, of course, is the one terrorist that was killed. There's now a report that the family had $100,000 in state benefits. You know, this was talked about already before, being on welfare. So this is on top of what Zokar gets from free legal representation. Between 2012, or between 2002 and 2012, the Sarnas received taxpayer-funded assistance, which would mean cash, food stamps, Section 8 housing is what they got. So 26-year-old Tamerlan and his wife, Catherine, and their 3-year-old daughter were on welfare till 2012 when their income exceeded the eligibility limits. His parents also received state welfare benefits when he and his brother were younger. Oh, boy. Like I said, it just keeps on giving over and over again. The chairman of an 11-member committee, Massachusetts State Congressman David Linsky, is saying, I can assure members of the public that this committee, and this is a Massachusetts committee, will actively review every single piece of information we can find, because clearly the public has a substantial right to know what benefits, if any, his family or individuals accused of some crimes were receiving. Linsky's committee received more than 500 documents detailing the state assistance the Sarna family received after it made requests to the DTA, the state's Medicaid director and Health and Human Services secretary. Already mentioned that. So accusing the United States or attacking Western ways, but very conveniently taking advantage of those benefits. Ooh, doesn't that just hack you off?
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.